So we're coming to the end of James now. We're in chapter 5, and tonight we're starting at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Over to Martin.
Just a word of prayer before we start looking together at this passage. Dear Lord, will you please open each one of our hearts and our minds tonight? Will you use whatever it is you've given me to say, to speak to our hearts and minds, that we may be better disciples of yours in the days to come? And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Patsy's just said, we're coming to the end of our look at the letter from James. And I do like James. I love the way that he's got a very straightforward sort of structure all the way through, including the fact that he opens up with a statement and now he's sort of repeating that at the end of his letter. Do you remember how right at the start he said, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing." And we've seen how he's continued with that theme right throughout the letter. He understands that those of us who are Christians will have to go through trials and difficulties, and we're going to have our challenges. We're going to have our challenges, certainly, if we're going to stay faithful to the end of the race we're running. And in his letter, he outlines lots of the examples of the trials Christians have to face. And it's striking how little's changed over 2,000 years. The challenges are still the same. Well, this evening we find ourselves right at the end of the letter, where James rounds it up by emphasising that throughout all the trials and temptations and challenges, our faith will help us and will teach us to endure. And so he encourages us once more to be patient. Not just to nurture within ourselves the ability to wait. Sure, that's patience. But we've got to develop a good attitude whilst we're waiting. For Christians, patience is more than just passive waiting. It's having a good attitude whilst we wait. And he offers an encouragement to us and an example as he says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. That's probably the right time for me to say that this passage speaks to me in a couple of ways. One is because I am the least patient person that I know. So it's really talking to me. And my gardening ability is a really good example of my lack of patience. I love nice gardens, but as a gardener, I want them to happen now. By now, I mean by tea time. You know, I want an instant garden. And, oh no, I don't want any of this hard work. None of that sort of muddy weeding nonsense or, you know, confronting prickly things and stinging nettles and wiggly things that bite you. And actually, it is as a direct result of that that Jill and I have chosen to live in a flat for our retirement years. I love watching other people do the gardening for us. You know, that gives me great joy. But in the past, we've had several houses with gardens. And the patterns with our gardens have always been the same. Somewhere around spring, we'll decide that this is the year for the garden. We're going to have a proudly good attitude towards our garden. And so we say, we'll do it in 3 weeks' time. Never right now. We put it off a bit. But when 3 weeks comes round, we don our old clothes and we go out into the garden and we, for a whole afternoon, we go out and we wildly tug at anything that we think could come out of the ground or may look a bit like a weed. And anything else, we chop right down to the ground. We give it a short back and sides. And then we go off for the fun bit. We go off to the garden centre and we waste an absolute fortune. The amount of money I've wasted over my life on things that look green and impressive and showy and colourful and they've got magnificent flowers already in bloom and we put them all in the back of the car and off we go. And then we get and we plant them all. We stick them in the ground and then we pat ourselves on the back about what a lovely garden we've got. And then maybe we sit in it with a self-congratulatory glass of something because all this serene beauty that surrounds us has been achieved by since lunchtime. And then the week progresses and after a few days we start to moan about the fact that there are weeds poking. I hate weeds. You know, I got rid of them last weekend and now all the weeds are coming up and you know, then it starts to rain hard and all the blooms fall off and, well, it's only a couple of days before our nice garden's over until next year when we do it all over again. Our impatience over gardens has cost us really dear over the years. And the most we've ever got out of it is temporary satisfaction. And as I wrote that, I was thinking, actually, how does that represent my spiritual life? Do I want my spiritual life to be perfect now? Do I want everything there is to be had out of my Christian life now? And do I skip the preparatory bit? Am I impatient to become the good Christian that I'm not? Well, we'd have done well to watch and see how the professionals do the gardening. And James actually tells us that if we want to learn how to do things, watch the farmers. Because they wait for the land to yield its valuable crop. And they wait patiently. They wait for the autumn. And then they wait for the spring. What farmers have and we lack is patience. Waiting with the good and right and positive attitude and the acceptance that in truth there is nothing we can do to speed up results any more than there is in our Christian life. There isn't for the farmer because it's all in God's hands. Out in the Middle East, God sends rain in October, what James calls the autumn rain. And the purpose of that rain is to soften up the ground and prepare the soil for planting and then to help the seed germinate once it's planted. And then in March and in April, God sends the spring rain to swell the grain and guarantee a good crop. It's all God's timing, not the farmer's. But of course, farmers are busy people. They may well be waiting patiently and watching for the first promising shoots that show. But in the meantime, good farmers will be carrying out other things as they wait. And that, says James, is what we must be doing. We must be doing things as we wait for this process of growth with God to progress. The development of holiness into full maturity is a process with patience at its core, but there are things we can be doing to help our growth. And the first one, he says, is stand firm. Stand firm. Don't let yourself get knocked about by passing fashions and fads which come from teachers standing up here spouting about things that aren't really coming from the Bible. Don't be over-influenced by worldly opinions that come from the outside. Don't be over-concerned about getting the best possessions. No, be firm. Get your eye on the end game and be firm in what you're doing to achieve spiritual perfection. James wants us to be like the prophets. He reminds us about people like Jeremiah. Do you remember? Oh, Jeremiah was chased out of town by people who didn't want to hear him preaching God's word. He didn't worry about that. He patiently carried on preaching God's word, though. And then there was Ezekiel. James reminds us of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a guy who was suffering. Oh, he was suffering so much from bereavement. He was grieving terribly. But it didn't stop him from doing his work and giving God's message to the people. And then just think, one of my favourite Bible characters is Daniel. Oh, Daniel, as a young teenager, was deported, taken away from his family, taken off, and told to assimilate another religion, another culture from that which he'd been brought up in. But he remained faithful to God through it all. And I dare to say that not only would the Bible have been completely different, but even history might have been different had Daniel not remained faithful. These are all examples of people who stood firm and were patient as they suffered for their faith. They chose to speak the name of the Lord rather than grumbling about God or other people. And that's the second thing we can do, is to learn to stop grumbling. Now, I've never been more sincere in my life than when I say there are times when you're preparing to preach, when you are preaching, and God gives you a word and you think, yeah, that's what I've got to say. And you realise it's because God's speaking to you. God's been speaking to me through this passage. And I pray that he's going to speak to you too, because James says, stop grumbling. Stop grumbling about God. Stop grumbling about things. And most especially, stop grumbling about each other. The Lord's coming is near, he says. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. And the judge is standing at the door. Yeah, I grumble. I grumble all the time, and I do it because I'm impatient. I do it because I'm too self-absorbed. I think my opinions are much better than anybody else's opinions. Hey, and you think you've got troubles. You should know my troubles. You're always moaning. I'm going to tell you, you are always moaning, you lot. You're not listening to me. Yeah, I'll grumble about you. And I want to do things the way I want to do them. I don't want to do things the way you want to do them. So I'll grumble about you the way you want to do them in order to justify to myself the way that I think is right. But here's the thing. Just listen to this. Every time I'm impatient, every time I grumble about someone else, every time you're impatient, every time you grumble about someone else, you are running directly contrary to God's word. And it's right there in James chapter 5, verse 9. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. And the judge is standing at the door. When we grumble about each other, we're disobeying the holy word of God. And we are sinning. And what's more, we're inviting God to judge us in the way that we judge others. We need to be patient. We need to be patient with each other. And when I say with each other, I mean both friends and acquaintances and even strangers. We've got to be patient with each other, those with whom we agree and those who hold very different views to our own. I expect you've all heard of the Jewish writing called the Midrash. The Midrash was a collection of stories collected over centuries by the rabbis. And they were stories which were told in order to sort of amplify the Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament. And there's one story which I love. It's a traditional story about Father Abraham. And the tale opens up with Abraham sitting outside his tent one evening. And he looks in the distance and he sees an old man walking up in his direction. And the old man's bent double and he's obviously very old. And Abraham thinks, gosh, he's out there all on his own and it's the night is drawing in. So he walks out to the old man and says, are you all right, old man? Come on in. And he takes him into his tent and Abraham washes the old man's feet and he gives him a bowl of steaming food. And the old man grabs this bowl and hungrily starts eating away. And Abraham said to him, just a minute, haven't you forgotten something? Don't you believe in God? You should have given thanks to God before you started eating. And the old man said, I don't believe in God. I've never believed in God. I believe in fire. That's about all I ever believe in. And Abraham said, you don't believe in God. Get out. Get out of my tent. And he shoves the old man out into the night again. And he goes back indignant into his tent. And as he goes back in, God speaks to him. And God says, do you know something? I've suffered that old man for 80 years now. He's dishonored me for all these years. Couldn't you put up with him? Couldn't you be patient with him for one evening? That's all I ask of you. If you're like me and tend to be a grumbler and are impatient with those who have different views for you from your own, then for Jesus' sake, let's stop it. It's unholy, it's unhelpful, and a sign of impatience. Not only is it not loving our neighbours ourselves, but our grumbling and bad attitude, well, it's so often a catalyst for other people to join in the grumbling, isn't it? We're leading other people into sin too. And then, as a final example of how we should be waiting, James cites Job. You remember Job. Job, that man who had everything. He had family, he had wealth, everything that we could want in this life. And he lost a lot. It's never quite clear why he lost a lot, except for the fact that God, in his wisdom and for his purposes, allowed Satan to chuck everything he had at Job. And yet, through it all, Job never lost his confidence in God, and he held on tight to his faith. He continued to love God, not for what he could get from God, but simply for who God is. Job's faith and his love for God persevered through the bad times as well as the good. Now, that's what's meant by having a good attitude whilst we're being patient. Persevering through the bad times as well as the good, and praising God through it all. James holds up Job's patience as an example to us all. And James reminds us that we've seen what the Lord finally brought about for Job, the man who was patient. How God turned seeming defeat into victory. And what's James's conclusion about it all? That simply this: when we wait patiently, when we wait with good attitude, we find that the Lord is indeed full of compassion and mercy for all of us who wait with faith. Amen.